Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, welcome to another episode of How I Raised It. Today I have Andrew Luckhead of Stay 22 coming to us from Montreal, Canada. Hi, Andrew. How's your day going?
Hey, Nathan. Great.
Bonjour. You're my first true non-US interviewee, so this is exciting.
It's a pleasure to be the first one with you.
All right. I have a terrible, I don't know if this is almost too embarrassing to say, but my wife and I went to French Polynesia. We sailed there one time, and of course they only speak French there. And we tried booking hotel rooms and stuff and was not getting very much results. They couldn't understand us. So I actually spoke English with a thick French accent, and somehow it helped them understand, and we could book our hotel rooms. So that's my
silly
story. Yes.
But at least this is when technology come in, right? With all of your smartphone app that you can just translate and go, it will have been better that time.
That's right. That's right. Although it's kind of fun to do the French accent. I like it. Okay, you're going to get me shot by someone here, so I'll stop doing that. So what is Stay 22, and why did you start this business?
So it's an interactive map showing all of the accommodation nearby. So an attendees can go on the map after purchasing a ticket for an event, and they'll be able to see roughly 6 million rooms from all around the world. So Airbnb, hotels, short-term rentals, hostels, like you name it, we got it. And we started this because as an attendee myself, I wanted to go and attend an event outside of town. And I just had to go, like, you know, you go on Expedia or Kayak, you find the best deal. After this, you go on Google Map because you don't know if a mile is going to be like across the street or is it going to be, you need to go across the river. And after this, TripAdvisor to get the review. It just seems like such a pain. So we thought there might be a better way in 2018 to make it happen, right on the website of the event. So you don't have to copy paste the date of the event. Everything's right there waiting for you.
So are you partnering with all these events and with all these hotel or, you know, room vendors, or are you scraping everything? And
exactly. So we partner with event organizer and ticketing platform that distribute our tool. So by integrating them on their website, and we have as a provider Airbnb, and we use a GDS called Travelport, as well as an aggregator called Hotels Combined. So all of them together make that we have the most room from all around the world with roughly 6 million of them.
6 million what? What was that?
6 million rooms, 6 million way that you can sleep. So when you think about it, Airbnb have just a bit over 4 million right now. And usually hotels chain, you can get up to 1 to 1.5 million, depending on who you're working with.
Interesting. What, just out of curiosity, what's the business model? Is Airbnb paying your lead fee, or are your users paying you for the convenience?
Yeah, no. So we make a commission out of every booking in that case. So we don't charge for a ticketing platform, and we even bring them money. So we do a revenue share with them. That's why the business is kind of booming at the moment. Before that, they were not able to provide a good experience to the user, and they had to pay for it. Now I'm coming in, and I'm like, by the way, forget everything. I'll pay you, and I'll be able to improve the attendees' experience at the same time.
That's cool. That's great. Very good. How long have you been around?
The business has been a year and a half now.
Okay, great. So you're based in Montreal. Let's talk about raising money. If I'm accurate, you've raised a seed round. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. $750,000 for a seed round.
And did you go through any accelerator, or is this from VCs, angels?
Yeah. No, I did went to an accelerator. Actually, we went to an incubator in Denver for 4 months called Travelport Accelerator Lab. And after this, as soon as we came back to Montreal, we got a great offer from the biggest accelerator in Canada called Founder Fuel. And we had the opportunity to raise $100,000 for 5% of the business. So we just jumped ship, went straight there, grew the team. Make sure that the MVP was working great, and from there the business was booming. After this, we had a great opportunity to pitch in front of a 2,000 people crowd. So it's a big stage. You go over there, you don't see things, you're super stressed, you don't want to mess up. after this, we had 3 months to raise the money. So we just closed our seed round on the 1st of December.
Great. When was demo day? So demo day was October or something like that? September?
No, exactly. So it was during summer. So it was kind of 11th of July. Mean like, you know, as everybody knows, like raising in summer is almost impossible. So July, August, nothing was happening. And I started to raise around as of September. So it took us a good 3 months to raise the money.
Okay, great. All French Canadian investors, all Montreal, or who's in on the round?
Not exactly. So we have one VC from Vancouver that's leading the team, still Canadian. After this, we have a VC in Montreal from Real Venture, and the rest are angels investors. One of them is from Italy, if I'm not mistaken.
From Italy?
So we went broad. We went broad, yeah, from Italy.
Interesting. Do you know Sylvain from Real Ventures?
Of course, Sylvain Cal. He was one of our mentors.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good guy.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah, I pitched him pretty hard. I couldn't get him to come in and invest on Founder Suite. I think I almost had him. I was having beers with him at South by Southwest 2 years ago, and I think I almost got him to write a check, but couldn't quite tip him. But I like that guy.
Always that close, right? But you need to finish that.
Yep. Okay, great. So what was it like raising money, you know, being a startup up in Canada? How many investors did you talk to? And, you know, how did you find these investors? What was your approach?
Sure. So back then, I didn't know about Founder Suite. So I just used the old Excel sheet, right? And there was roughly 100 people on the sheet. So 115, if I'm not mistaken. Spoke to most of them, talked, make sure that they were knew about the product at least. Out of all of the people, we managed to grab 2 VCs and 5 investors, angel investor.
2 VCs, 5 angels. Yep. Yep. That's pretty typical metrics, I think. You know, 115 talked to, 2 VCs, 5 angels. That's not dissimilar from our metrics when we raise money. So how did you identify these 115 targets? Were they all related to travel, or, you know, what was your search criteria?
Yeah, good question. So we first off opened up with our own network. So since we went to an incubator in Denver, we reached out to those people first, tell them about the business, what were the latest KPI. One thing that really helped us was the monthly update that we sent. So telling them about like the team, what have been achieved, the good, the bad, and the ugly about the business as well. So we're trying to be most transparent as possible with them. And it's a great way of like connecting with those mentors and investors. After this, once we finished like the close relationship, close network, we went ahead with the different VCs that invested money in travel startup, but as well entertainment company. So we reached out to those people, and finally the angels was through an angel group in Quebec called Ange Québec. So we managed to meet a few of them right there.
Orange Quebec?
Yeah, Ange Québec. So it's kind of an angel, Denver's angel, let's say. That will be the right traduction for this.
That's interesting. I want to come back to that, but let's go back to that first accelerator, the travel port. Was that worth the time? Did that generate some good investor interest, or was it really more founder fuel that drove that first couple checks?
Founder fuel was great to know more about the travel industry. So I didn't know much back at that time. I was coming from the ticketing industry, like the entertainment. So that was a great way to connect with those people. Though travel is super hard. Like when you heard a B2C like startup, you're like, no way you can like fight against Expedia and Kayak. They spend more than $10 billion per year on ads, like, just forget it. After this, when we came back in Founder Fuel, this is where we met most of the investors we had in that round. So Demo Day was a great way for us to connect with people. Even though we had engaged with them prior to that, I believe that having me on stage pitching and people laughing, I guess they just said, like, this guy is natural, like, let's just invest in him. So that was fun. But yeah, Founder Fuel Network, I will say, was really great for us. So I just piggyback on every introduction I had. I just reach them out through LinkedIn network. And one strange way of asking about this, but like I also talk with a lot of business professionals, so like lawyers, manager, people who previously owned business, but who were like 60, 65, that were not running business anymore, but still want to get, you know, that business acumen that you get through your life, and they want to share with young people. So I managed to like get some of these people on board as well.
To invest or to more mentor you and make introductions? Or
it started as a mentor, and it ended up as an investor. So I believe I'm not the only one with that case. Most of the time, you just ask for a question and send you money after. We kind of went way the same way in that case.
Interesting. Great, great, great. So this is good. Was it a price round or a convertible note or a safe? What did you do for the actual details?
Yeah. So there was $100,000 from Real Venture that was a convertible note. The rest was a price round. So we raised we challenged like everybody, like you try to hit the low and the down. So in Canada, this is not like the best situation, but it was kind of okay for what we have down there. So we raised $750,000 at a valuation of $3.75 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's respectable, and I think that's, you know, not unusual.
Respectable. Could have been better, right? It can always get better.
But again, if you're, this is one of these things we could talk about forever, and people do talk about it, right? If you're really optimizing for valuation and, you know, less dilution, now the expectations of what you have to do for your next round are get higher and higher, right? So yeah. I see startups all the time that have achieved an amazing valuation on early stage rounds, but now they need to grow into that. And if they don't, you know, it usually comes out of their pocket in terms of dilution later on. So I know,
Nathan, but as you know, like as a startup and as an entrepreneur yourself, like you believe in your business, right? Whatever valuation it will be, you know, like I'll be able to double that. Like I will reach those numbers because I believe in my team. I believe in my own business like you did for Foundersuit. So sometimes you sell a dream, but you got to believe in the dream at the same time. And you just like fall into the dream, in the trap as well. It's hard to know.
Yeah. It's, my wife is actually around the corner, so I hope she doesn't hear me say this. But when I, you know, raised our round, we did a $5 million valuation. And so I'm telling her, you know, honey, just keep supporting me on this startup journey, because I've got 64% of a $5 million business, right? It's all paper money, of course, but it's I think, to justify this crazy path, crazy life to the wife. Yeah.
Well, if you sell it to your wife and it works, you can sell it to anyone after that. Like, it's not even stress.
There you go. Good. So great. So you just raised this pretty recently. You know, how long does it carry you forward?
12 months. So we have 12 months on runway. This means that I need to get back to the drawing board and do the full raising process again in roughly 8 months from now.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think you'll be going after another seed, like a seed plus, or what's the next funding step? Or will you be ready for a Series A? I don't know what your growth and metrics are looking like, but if you're willing to talk about that, that'd be interesting.
Sure. So we're aiming for Series A. In October, we had a 200% of growth versus the last year. It's hard for us to talk month over month because it's a really seasonal business in travel. As you can guess, some people travel more in the summer than they do in the winter. So we're using year over year instead of month over month. And we believe we'll be able to raise Series A in exactly 10 months from now. So an amount between $3 to $5 million.
Great. And what's your thoughts or strategy on that? Are you going to stick with Canadian investors? Are you going to start shopping in New York or California?
Yeah. So one of the reasons we went with the Seven Gate Venture, early the investor, is because these guys had a great network in the West Coast. So we're in the East in Montreal. We know people in New York and Boston as well, which is a great geographical way since it's closest to us. But we had no network at all, no connection in the West. So by having these people in Vancouver, it's easier for us to target San Francisco. And if we want to raise a good amount of money at a good valuation, as you can guess, it will be in the States. We are incorporated in the States as well in Delaware because of the accelerator we did. So this is where we'll be heading right after.
What was the fund called? Seventh?
Seven Gate Venture.
Seven Gates. Interesting.
Yes.
And did you pick them because you knew they had connections to later follow on, you know, fundraising in the U.S., or is that just a happy byproduct?
I will wish I could say that I thought about this, but as you can guess, at that stage, you're just like, whoever is ready to give a term sheet,
yeah,
you're ready to go. In fact, we had two term sheets, one from Seven Gate, and we were about to get one from an angel group in Quebec. But unfortunately, these guys were asking for us to open up our board for five people instead of three. And we just decided to, you know what, like, it's going to be too much for a seed round, so we let go on the table and $400,000.
That's interesting. So they wanted, at this early seed round of under $1 million, they wanted to have a board of five?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, I can see why you'd want to.
That's a lot. Exactly. So it was a lot, and the dilution would have been too much as well for a valuation of like three per money, getting like $1 million. You're like, this is going to be like too hard to sustain later. So we just said, let's like work on the term sheet we have right now with Seven Gate. And we just thought long about this, and we decided after talking with mentors and advisor to go ahead with Seven Gates. They were the perfect fit for us.
Interesting. That's great. Are there some travel focused VCs, you know, that really focus on that category?
Yeah. Of course there is. So the three GDS have a different accelerator or kind of a program that they can work with, but they're also doing investment. Taylor Ventures is really good, that's really focused into this. So Chris Emeter is one of the managers of the fund. He knows everything like upside and down regarding travel. So there's a few VC that are really target. 500 is a really great good example for seed round. So if someone's in travel, 500 in the US is a great way of like getting involved in there.
Interesting. Give me those names one more time. We had one slight little audio glitch.
Sure. So Taylor Ventures, T-H-A-Y-E-R, and the other one is 500, so 500.
Okay, interesting. You mentioned a couple of things in, you know, let's, I always like to talk about kind of the local fundraising ecosystem. So let's talk about the Quebec or Montreal. You mentioned Founder Fuel. You mentioned Orange Quebec, I think you said.
Orange Quebec. Angel, yeah, okay.
Orange Quebec. Sorry. Okay, gotcha.
Orange Quebec, sorry.
Yes, got it. What's the environment like there overall? I mean, is there a decent amount of money sloshing around for early stage startups, or are those really the only two sources for early stage founders?
I will say that it's better than it was, for sure. Though it's still hard, there's not so many funds out there, so you always revolve around the same 10 of them. It's hard to say that there's going to be like it's not US, right? Montreal is a close city. Everybody knows each other. So as soon as you start raising a round, you must meet everybody in a short period of time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they just like let it go. So we had to run everybody during the same week or so.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's actually really good advice. When you're in a small ecosystem, you're going to meet everyone. You need to meet everyone. And you should do it in a pretty condensed time frame, right?
Exactly. And you let them know beforehand, like, I will raise money during that period. We're going to meet with the seven or nine other VC funds. We selected you because of this reason, and we're expecting to cash in by that date. If that works, is that timeline work for you, we'll be more happy to work and have a meeting and face-to-face. That's a great way of, like, setting up meetings beforehand and letting know exactly that you're talking business and not just, like, fooling around.
Yeah, good. Well, this is fantastic. Any other advice for your fellow Quebecians? Is that the right phrase? Or fellow
Quebecers. Quebecers is a good one.
Quebecers. People starting their companies and launching and looking to raise money. What other tips or advice would you give them, or would you have given yourself if you could go back and do this all over again?
Sure. So first off, really look for the VC funds that are going to be like in your network and that are close to you. It's not worth looking at something that's going to be miles away, because people want to be close to and like still have that strong relationship with the founder. After this, if you don't have a strong if you don't have a strong network and cannot ask for an intro, just don't call outreach. Like, find a way to make it happen. So what I used was to reach out to entrepreneur that had been fun by those people. And I reached out to them. I was like, hey, I saw your business. It's looking good. Exchange like advice and information. And after a couple of exchange, you can ask them regarding the relationship. Like, will you mind giving me an intro to a VC? So this is really time consuming. But if you're not doing it for like fake it, it means something because you're spending that time with me. You're helping me out. It will be really better for me if I can get an intro. And people are usually open after this. Not on the first email, not on the fifth one, but after a while of exchanging information and advice. So I guess that's what I will recommend people, like, to be true, to really have as much people as possible in the pipeline, but targeted people. Don't waste your time on people that have closing a fund, don't have money back in the bank. Like, you'll be a good way for them, but maybe in a year from now, like, not tomorrow. So you'll be spending too much time with them, maybe, and talk to you later, and we'll see in a year. This is just like a big problem.
Yeah. Do you find something I've noticed a pattern with some, other startup ecosystems outside of Silicon Valley or New York is the angel investors are looking for higher levels of traction. Do you think that's true in your market? Is the expectation you have pretty interesting yes. revenue? Yeah.
I think in Canada it's even worse. We all know that the seed round raise now is the Series A round is now more like a seed round, and they're asking you for more. So especially in Canada, an MVP is not enough. Like, for a seed round, they're going to ask you for traction. They will ask you for numbers. It's not just about a concept, idea, or team. They want to see that it's working, and they want to see that they're returning money. It's not for testing anymore. It's that you have found a way like to make it, and that you'll be able to bring it to Series A. So this is really hard in our market, and people must be ready for that. Because if you want to get that path, you will not stop. Like, this is going to be seed round, Series A, Series B acquisition or so. You'll never stop.
What do you think you need to hit in terms of MRR or, daily active users or whatever key metric you're tracking before you're ready for Series A? Do you have a target in mind?
Yeah, sure. I don't mind saying it. So we believe that after 12,000 bookings per year, we'll be able to reach that number. So that means roughly $4 million of top line revenue.
Yeah, that's a good target. That sounds healthy. Good stuff. Do you think you'll raise multiple rounds, or are you going to try and keep this as lean and mean as possible?
Now, in our market, we're kind of first to market. This is a great opportunity for us. We have an amazing team. I'm there for the long run, so we will raise multiple rounds. We will keep it like we'll always be in deficit because we want to grab land as much as possible. So it will be like round after round because they're just such an amazing opportunity. There's no reason for us to go lean. I'm going all in for this one.
All right. I like that attitude. Go all in on this one. Very good. Well, Andrew, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Hopefully you have a nice weekend coming up there in Montreal, and
yeah, we have a few feet of snow coming in. I can't wait to go snowboard. It's been a while.
Oh, you're lucky. I made it up to Tahoe skiing once so far, and now it's just there's no snow. There's no snow.
Oh. At least you get a business and a wife.
Yeah, that too. All right, sir. Merci.
It was a pleasure to talk with you. Merci, Nathan. Bye.
Bye.